Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
He's going to do things beyond your good. He's going to do amazing things among you. And Joshua said to the priest, take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on ahead of them. So they took it up and went ahead of them. They moved in there now. I love it because Joshua communicates to Israel and says, God's going to do amazing things in your tomorrow, but we're not waiting for tomorrow. Israel, priests, get ready. Let's get the presence moving now. Let the presence get out in front of you so that we can follow the victorious God in which we serve. And there becomes such an anticipation in Israel. They're saying, come on, man, Joshua, God's going to do great things. Joshua, God's going to do amazing things. I mean, there's never been a greater season for what is God is doing in this house and right now. I mean, when I talk to Pastor Henry, God is moving miraculously, not just in the life of people, but in the life of provision. I remember when he first came, he was walking around this building. He's like, I'm walking around. God told me he's going to give me that building. And I thought, well, I hope so. You know, that's what I was thinking in here. But outside, I said, praise God, brother. Man, that's amazing. Come on, Pastor Henry, God's going to give it to you. And I got in my car. I was like, that would be cool. But, man, that's a big building. Come on, can we just keep it real? Sometimes we allow our intellect or our mindsets of where we've been or what we've done to limit what God wants to do. And so we'll downsize the dream of God so it fits in our life instead of upsizing our life to fit in God. Upsizing who we are in Jesus Christ to do something supernatural for God. And I love this story because these are the differences between the people that Joshua led and those that Moses led. Moses came down from the mountain and said, God's going to do amazing things. Look at these Ten Commandments. God literally etched them out with his finger and stone and gave these Ten Commandments to Israel. Isn't this amazing? And Bob was in the back and he just was in the back looking. He said, I seem better. It's okay. Why? Because Moses led a people of murmurers when Joshua led a people of encouragers. When God spoke something to Joshua and Israel, they began to become activated by the faith that God was going to move on their behalf. You got to be careful that you stay an encourager instead of a murmurer. Man, we're going to take over this building. We're going to take this city. Nah, I don't know about that. Murmur. You ever have a murmur in your life? Man, I'm gonna lose weight this week. I'm going to go out. I doubt it. Murmurers will always remind you where you've been. Encouragers will always speak about where you're going. I love that God doesn't live in my past. He lives in my future is what the Bible says. That God lives beyond where I am because he's creating the path that the righteous will walk. That he's the light unto my feet. Why? Because he's already made the path. He lives in my future. He's creating my future. He could care less about where I've been, but he is committed to where I am going. Amen. That's the thing in our life, is if not careful, we will gather a murmurer spirit. You got to be careful with the murmurers in your life. Murmurers will always tell you what you could almost do. They'll remind you of what you didn't do. But encouragers, when encouragers in the faith hear about what God is doing, they begin to celebrate. They begin to get excited. They begin to cheer of the things of God. No, God's going to bring in the provision. Well, he didn't at my last church. Murmur. God wants to heal you. Well, I've already prayed. It didn't happen. Murmur. not careful, you will cut yourself off from the blessing of God just from, because really what comes out of your mouth, murmuring doesn't come from the tongue, it comes from the heart. That out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. You got to start speaking life over yourself. Well, you don't know what I've been through. You don't know that divorce. I'll never love again, murmur. No, I'm going to love again. I'm going to believe again. I'm going to dance again. There's joy in my life. The ashes were one moment, but God turns my ashes into beauty. He turns my sorrow into singing. He turns my weakness into strength. He turns the things that struggled into things that I overcame. You got to keep communicating where you're going. You got to keep communicating in the lives around you, believing for their future. Because it doesn't take anything to tell someone what's wrong with their life. But it takes someone that loves you to see what's right in your life. And I love that I have a God in my life that sees what's right, that sees the possibilities of the potential. And I don't want to allow the murmur of my life, because you know who's the worst murmur in my life? David. Oh man, I'm going to go. Yeah, we're going to leave the church and we're going to go and we're going to preach around the nation. Well, you better be careful. See, everywhere you go, there will be a doubt and a faith. They live in the same room. You got to figure out who you want to talk to. They live in the same place. When Chantel and I were saying, hey, we feel like we're going to release our church and I'm going to step into full-time traveling. I'm going to help pastors and I'm going to help churches and I'm going to speak like I've never spoke. The prophetic's going to flow in a way that you say all those things and then you lay down and go to bed and go, God, I hope so. You get up, Pastor Henry, you know this. On Sunday mornings, you come and you preach. We're going to get a building. We're going to go to the next level. You wake up on Monday like, oh God, why did you make me say that? Because you were under the anointing. Actually, you were speaking life. And then murmur. You got to cut the murmurs away and start speaking. No, this is what God said. This is what we're believing for. This is where we're going. This is what God wants. Because anticipation produces an expectation that brings celebration. It brings a celebration. You've never had to teach a kid to dance. You never had to teach a kid to sing. I mean, kids don't care. You never had to teach a kid to laugh. Why is it that we have to teach adults to? And you go to church, well, let's see what you got. I don't know if I got enough for you, but God bless you. Sometimes you got to just smile, enjoy the journey. You got to have an expectation that God's not finished or even slowing down in your life. He's just getting started in your life. He's the lover of your life. He's the lover of your life. And when you have an expectation, you will begin to believe for more. It's amazing because wherever Jesus went, there was an expectation. One man said, Jesus, you don't have to come to my house. Just tell me my child is whole and they'll be whole. Just say it. You don't come to my house. Bartimaeus is on a side of a mountain or a side of a road and Jesus is just walking by and it says that he shouted and people told him, be quiet, Bartimaeus. This is Jesus. He doesn't care about your moment. And I love it because Bartimaeus said he shouted all the more. I'm shouting. I'm after something from God. I'm not going to let my doubts, my insecurities, your issues, your struggles, my struggles, keep me from believing with an expectation. And wherever Jesus went, people were miraculously healed and delivered and changed. But when he walked into his hometown, he walked into a clan of murmurers. I know murmurers think it's like, well, we're just keeping it real. No, you're not. You're keeping it negative. That's my personality. I doubt it. walked in and they said, "Oh, we know him. He's Joseph's kid. Oh, he's a carpenter. We know he's doing some things out there, but come on. Welcome home, Jesus. Remember when you were a kid?" No, they didn't know who he was. They knew who they thought he was. Sometimes you got to break out of the mindsets of even who you've told yourself that you are, who the devil has told you you are, and have an expectancy of what God is saying that you are, that you're my son, that you're my daughter, that you're an overcomer, that you're a conqueror, that there's more within your life. Because when you have an expectancy, you'll have a willingness to partner with God to start something that only God can finish. When's the last time you just did something only God could do? Because a lot of times what I want is I want God to do what I can do. But God doesn't do what I do. He does what he does. God starts where I end. And so Israel gets on the edge of the Jordan and they're excited. And I think one of the guys probably looked over to Joshua and said, "Joshua, where's the staff?" He's like, "I don't have a staff. Moses had a staff." "Well, go get the staff because we want to cross. Just put the staff on the water. You know how it goes, and bam, we're there." And Joshua said, "Well, I don't have a staff. You're the staff." God doesn't want to do something provisionally for you. He wants to do something of partnering with you. He doesn't just want to make it happen. He wants to make it happen through you. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes we just want God to do it. But God wants to use us in a partnership. Joshua 14, 7 through 17 says, "So when the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priest carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them." I like verse 15. God wants us to know that it wasn't a perfect moment. It wasn't even a right moment. It was just God's moment. Because he says, "Now the Jordan is at flood stage all during the harvest." Murmur. "Well, Joshua, why don't we wait till July? We could actually jump over the Jordan. Why are we going at flood season?" Murmur. Because God said, "This is our moment." And God didn't look down at heaven and go, "Whoa, whoa, oh my gosh. I didn't even check my phone. Guys, I am so sorry. I didn't realize it was flood stage." You're right. Get back to camp. Let's hang out. Let the water. It wasn't flood season for God. It was just another season. It was a season for what God wanted to do in there now. And it says that, "Yet as soon as the priests who carried the ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. And it piled up in a great heap a great distance away in a city called Adam in a vicinity of Zarethan." God said, "I want you not just to talk about God, but I want you to get into the things of God. I want you to get into the places where God can move in your life. I want you to get to the place where you partner with what God is doing, not asking God to partner with what you're doing." Anyone ever done that? I remember in high school, I was in an algebra class, and I remember praying literally. I said, "God, if you're real, I'm about to take this test. You know I haven't studied, but I believe you're real. You're a God of the revelation, and I need some revelation right now." Because we want... Yeah, you've said that prayer. We want God to do what we haven't done. Instead of stepping into the waters, instead of stepping in and believing that God is going to do something more, he's going to do something great, that we have not the attitude just to step in. It's like the priest stepped in and they could have said, "Whoa, we stepped in and God didn't do anything, so I'm going to step back out. I'm not getting in there. I'm going to get washed away." But God said, "If you get in..." And what's amazing is what they didn't know, as soon as they got in, God was sending a miracle. He just needed them to stay in. He just needed them staying in the presence. He just needed them to stay where they were, not to step into God until it got okay again, and then step back out of God. Step back into God so he could heal me, but now I'm going to step back out of God. I could always, you know what I love about traveling is I can say things that I never could say as a pastor, because I get to leave. But I would remember when people would come to church and I would think, whoa, haven't seen them for a while. They're going through something. And then God would work in their life and I wouldn't see them for a while. And then they'd show up again. Why? Because they knew where to come to get fixed. But they didn't want to stay where they needed to see the miraculous. Deliverance, change, operation work within their life. And so they kept getting in, but they kept getting out. They had happy feet. They're like, woo. But if you will stay, if you will step into something and say, no, God, I'm believing you to take my family across something that we're not sure how we're going to get across. But you said you make a way where there seems to be no way. I'm not going to operate in facts because everyone can tell me what the facts are, but I'm going to operate in your truth. That you're a God that sticks with me when no one sticks with me. That you're a friend that sticks closer than a brother. You're someone that continues to move. But I don't want to live on the edge of what God could do. Revival's coming. No, revival's here if I'll step in. It's already here. I was in Tucson and there's a hill there called Tumamoc. I think it means the devil in some language. Because it's super steep. And I like hiking up it, try to get a workout. And so we're hiking up it, right? And all these people are hiking up it. And it's not even really a hike, it's a road. It's paid for you. I mean, it doesn't get any easier. It's just really steep at the top. And so I'm hiking up this thing, and there's these two ladies that are in front of me, and they're just talking, but they're kind of far in front of me. But in my mind, I'm thinking, oh, you're going down. This is how I walk. And I always find someone ahead of me, and it motivates me to, I'm like, I'm passing them. So I'm trying to walk faster up this hill, and these ladies are, I'm like, these ladies, there are no joking around. Like, in the name of Jesus, slow down. You don't even know you're making me look bad. So I'm behind them, and this lady, one of those ladies that are running, you know, she's running. And I already don't like her now because she's running. But she's running, and right before she gets to the lady, she says, hey, heads up, there's a snake up there. There's a snake up there, which hurt my feelings because when she ran by me, she didn't say anything. I'm like, okay, thanks. You don't mind if I die? And it was amazing because, you know, women, they're in sync. It's impressive sometimes that they're walking, they're talking, they're having a conversation, and this lady comes around the corner and says, hey, there's a snake up there, without even a glimpse to one another, without even looking at each other. They literally walking, they flipped around and started walking down the hill and didn't even miss conversation. They were still talking. It's like, yeah, I'm taking Billy to preschool. And, you know, and so they're walking down towards me and they're talking. I said, whoa, 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 where are you going? You're almost to the top. And they're like, there's a snake up there. I said, there's no snake up there. There might have been a snake that crossed the road, but trust me, the snake doesn't want to be anywhere. There's so many people here. There's no snake up there. And they're like, are you sure? I'm like, I'm positive there's no snake up there. And in my mind, I'm thinking, well, you don't really know. And so they said, well, you go first. And I was already committed to it. I'm like, well, I'll go because there's no snake. And then I was, you know how you have these thoughts and I'm walking up the hill, I'm thinking, man, if I get bit by a snake, they're literally going to say, we told you so. But I thought, how many times in life are we going to a destination? Are we on the journey? We're hiking we're going up, we're motivated, we're moving, and just something that is said or something that happened. There's a snake up there. Whoa, I'll just turn around. No, I've got a dream. I've got an achievement. I want to accomplish something. And a murmur comes around the corner and murmurs at your life. And instead of saying, no, I'm almost there. I'm almost to the top. I've almost beaten this thing. We turn around and start heading back in the direction in which we came instead of the direction in which God is leading us. We've got to partner with things that only God can finish. We got to believe that when we move, God is moving with us. And when we partner with God to start something only He can finish, it takes holding onto the promises of God. When we're holding onto the promise of God, it's about staying in the presence of God. I wrote it this way: holding onto the promises of God takes staying in the presence of God. If you're going to hold on to the promises, then you got to stay in the current. You got to stay in the flow. You got to stay in what God is speaking. And when life tells you something else, you got to keep speaking out of the Spirit instead of being led by your emotion, being led by your struggle, being led by your circumstance. How many times or how many years now, Pastor Henry, have you been walking around this building? 3.5. How long have you been in the building? It's about the same. And when did you think you really were going to buy the building? When did that really happen? And then when was it possible to truly buy the building? Yeah. 3 years. We're going to buy this building. No, you're not. Yes, we are. No, you're not. Hey, man, we're going to buy that building. You know what? Have you ever thought we should just go to a school? We should just go to a storefront. Pastor Henry, listen, you've been walking around this thing long enough. See, those are all the things. You've been praying for your kid long enough. You've been believing for the call of God on their life long enough. You've been believing for your finances long enough. God's not doing it. Just stay in the presence. Because in the presence is where the promise lies. In the presence is when the promises become real. But when you get out of the current, when you get out of the presence, you'll believe things that you should have never believed. You'll do things that you should have never done. You'll go places you should have never went. It says in verse 17, and the priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stopped in the middle of the Jordan and stood on dry ground while all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground. There's such a powerful picture here that we never let go of God's presence. And as long as they kept the presence of God, they continued to watch God do the impossible. In the presence of God is where God speaks to you. And then you got to activate the faith to say, yeah, we're going to do it. It's funny because when I told people we were moving to NorCal, people literally said, why? I didn't even have an answer. I just knew it was God. And then I looked up the cost of living increase in San Jose compared to Tucson. And then I thought, well, maybe it's not God. No, really. When I saw that housing was 210% greater than Tucson, I saw, well, that's not God. Well, I literally told my wife, hey, in Oklahoma, you can rent a house for like 50 cents. And how easy do we downsize? Said, no, we're going to step out in faith. We're going to believe. And all those, the murmur doesn't leave you, but you got to trump the murmur with the truth. You got to trump the doubt. You got to trump the insecurity. You got to trump the worry and concern. And you got to make sure that your worship isn't on your worry, that your worship stays on God. Because whatever you give your attention to is what you're worshiping. And Israel said, man, God's up to great things. What are we going to do? We're going to get in the water. We're going to do what? Where's the staff? Remember how God used to do it? Yeah, that was great. God used to do it that way. But God's asking us to do it this way. So I need some willing people to get in the stream and break the current and stay in God's presence. Because what's amazing is they weren't getting into the current by themselves. They were getting in the current with the Ark of the Covenant, which was the presence. It was God. They said, okay, let's hold on to God. Whew, man, this thing's strong. But as long as I'm holding on to Him, He said He'll never leave me nor forsake me. As long as I'm holding on to Him, I don't know what's happening, but God, we're trusting You. And God was saying, don't worry, I've already done the miracle. Just wait for it. That your miracle's on the way. That your miracle's on the way. I know the first guy that gets in the water is saying, hey, you in yet? And the guy's like, no, keep going. And he's thinking, I should have grabbed the end of the ark. And he's getting a little deeper. Why? Because we love to live in the shallows of God instead of stepping into a deeper place with God. A place that I'm not in as control as I used to be. A place where, man, if I fail now, I'm really going to fail. But yet God has never lost a battle. I got to stay in the presence. Why? Because a miracle's on its way. The miracle's on its way. And if I keep stepping out, I keep detouring around the miracle of God. But if I'll stay in the current, oh my gosh. If I stay in the place where God is bringing forth the supernatural into my life, I'm staying into the presence of God where He's doing the impossible for my life, that my miracle's on its way. And I feel like God sent me today to maybe just declare that over someone in this room, that you might be tired in the current, but your miracle is on its way. That God's on its way. That provision is on its way. That hope is on its way. That healing is on its way. That your love is on its way. That His ability to change everything is on its way. I'm going to ask the worship team to come, and I want you to stand with me this morning. We'll close. But I believe there's those here that you need God to do something miraculous in your life. And you have pastors that have been standing in the current for you. Today, I'm standing in the current. I'm believing that God, there's miracles that are on the way into this house. But you got to step from the edge of what is limiting you and step in. No, I'm getting in the water today. I'm getting in the presence today. I'm going to go a little bit deeper. I'm not going to grab the debris of my life that I always grab hold of that takes me downstream just for me to get up and get back to where I'm supposed to be. No, I'm just going to stand strong. When I've done everything to do to stand, God says, stand firm. I'm going to stand firm for my miracle. There's a lot of murmurs that are murmuring I had a friend. Well, what I know is this, that Jesus said, by His stripes, I'm whole. That we took communion, and by the brokenness of His body, my body becomes healed. That my issues are not bigger than what God wants to do in my life. That my past is something that is in my past, but His blood that redeemed my life is in my future. It's sending me, it's catapulted me, it's pushing me to my next. And my next isn't later. My next is now. It's right now. Will you just bow your head, close your eyes? First step today is, if you're here today and your life is not right with God, the author and the perfecter of your life, the lover of your life, not just the provider, not just someone who's provisional for you, because I don't want to live in the provision of God. I want to live in the promise of God. Israel did 40 years of circles in the provision of God. God fed him, took care of him. Their shoes didn't grow old. Their clothes didn't wear out. When they got tired of manna, He gave them quail. When they didn't have water, he brought it. But it was provisional, because they were unwilling to step into the promises. And so they led their life in circles. But God says that you're an arrow. He pulls you back, and he's formed you to hit a bullseye. He's formed you that you would accelerate, that when he shoots you in a trajectory, that it hits the point that he is aiming you towards. And you've missed that. You've missed that moment, or maybe you've stepped away, or maybe you've never even stepped in. You know that today your life is not right with the author and perfecter of your faith, Jesus Christ. If that's you, I'm going to move quick here, but if that's you, I just want you to raise your hands to the heavens and say, God, I'm right here. Today, God, I'm right here. Just leave your hand up. Today, I'm right here, and I'm making all things new. You're going to make all things new in my life. Then I'm not going to listen to the murmur that, well, yeah, you've done this before. No, I'm doing this. I'm not listening to murmuring of my past, of my problems, of my issues. God, I'm right here, and I need you to make all things new. Thank you. Thank you. There's a lot of us. Church, you can put your hand down. I want you to pray this prayer with me. And church, I want you to pray it with us, because I don't think anyone should have to stand alone when they're coming after God. But when you say this prayer, this isn't a hope so. This is a definite that God runs to you, finds you, secures you, believes in you, forgives you, makes you a new creation. Not helping the old guy, making him a new guy. Pray this with me, church. Jesus, today I invite you in my life. I ask you to forgive me. I ask you to bring me your strength, a faith to hold on to you and not waver by anything trying to pull me away from you. You said that when I come to you, you make all things new. I'm praying today that today's a new day. Today's an exciting day. Today's a day that I get my life back and I surrender it to you so that I can become all that you created me to be. I surrender to you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, can we just celebrate them? I think a lot of people wonder, like, is it really that simple? It's really that simple. He's really that good. But I want to step into another moment, and Pastor, we can move however you want, but if you need God to do the miraculous in your life today, I want you to step from where the edge is and just step into the promises of God. I want you to step in your healing today, in your wholeness today. And it doesn't matter what it is. You may say, well, it's not miraculous to anyone else. It doesn't matter who else. It's what you need from God. You need a fresh start today, and that's miraculous. Then today God's going to give you a fresh start. If you need a healing in your body today, then God's going to move miraculously on your physical body. If you need God to help you with depression or anxiety or being overwhelmed, then you're going to leave today different than when you walked in this place. That's not my promise. That's God's promise. And if you're here today, you just say, David, I need God to move. Just looking at me, I need God to move miraculously in my life, because it's by faith that we erase the doubts and say, no, I need God to move miraculously in my life today. For whatever reason, if that's you, I just want you to raise your hand and say, I'm right here. I'm right here. Because what I'm saying is, not only is God believing with you, but I'm believing with you. This church is believing with you. Because for many of us, we could go across this place and talk about testimony after testimony, after miracle, after miracle, after miracle. And it's not by who I am as a person, it's who I am that I'm his son. You're his daughter. And God wants to move miraculously upon your life. So I'm going to ask you to do this today. Wherever you are, I'm going to ask you to do something by faith, because the Bible said that Jesus said, you're healed by your faith. I'm going to pray for you, but you're already healed by your faith. And what I said earlier is faith isn't about the lack of doubts. Actually, faith is enough faith to say, I'm not going to listen to my doubts, and I'm going to step out, and I'm going to believe God to do something that my voice inside is like, well, you know, no, I don't know, but I'm going to find out. I'm going to let God be God, and I'm going to do what I can do by just stepping into the stream, into the presence of God. So if you need God to do something miraculous in your life, I'm going to challenge you today just to step out and just stand across this altar.